Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Do not forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There are videos, fantastic stories, podcasts galore. Today, I've got a lot of pressure on my shoulders because the boss is on the line. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur, Jason Pfeiffer. And what's even worse is his boss is on the line. His wife, Jennifer Miller. Welcome to the show, guys. Yes, right?
Thanks.
I like it. Jen's just going to watch our performance here, and we'll get a rating later.
You know what? I love this. I love it. And let me just kind of lay a little groundwork, because you two have co-authored a novel, Mr. Nice Guy. And that's kind of, it's a romantic comedy, but that's kind of what this maybe is a little bit about. Maybe Jason and Jennifer, you guys give me one take each on what this is about, and let's see if you guys both have the same opinion. That's the best part.
All right. I want Jen to go first.
Okay, go ahead, Jen.
Well, just the one-sentence synopsis, which I think we both agree on, is that it's about two people who every week sleep together and then review each other's sexual performance in competing magazine columns. I would say what it's about, how you balance your professional ambition with your romantic relationships.
Yeah.
That was my summing it up.
Right.
I can't wait to read it. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. You know, it's funny because that's what Jen just said right there reminded me that this was something that we, throughout the process of writing this book, we both had this kind of different theme. She was very focused on the professional ambition stuff that we have in the book. And I was always very interested in this book as it relates to honesty, what happens when you are honest about the thing nobody's really honest about? That was the question that really intrigued me throughout here. So, you know, just from the very start, you see two people come together, they work on a project, and yet they have pretty separate ideas that overlap, but separate ideas about what exactly is going on in there.
Yeah, Jason was interested in last night's sex, and I was interested in how our characters could take over the New York media world.
Oh, my gosh. This needs to be a movie. I'm telling you, it is hilarious just from the onset. And by the way, just to give props to Jennifer Miller, novelist, journalist, this isn't your first novel. And so it must be interesting to work together with your husband. And that's what this couple of segments here is going to be about. I can't wait. When is the book going to be out, by the way, or is it already out?
It's out October 16th.
Okay,
is the pub date.
Literally.
So a week from.
Yeah. Yeah. So literally coming out almost immediately. I'm sure it'll be available all the normal places. But here we have the editor in chief of Entrepreneur Magazine and his wife, who is a journalist and novelist, and the book, Mr. Nice Guy. And then we talk about what was it like to write a book, Jason, start with you. With your wife, who is critiquing your work, along with your sexual...
that's right. You know. Well, see, now that is the reason we're talking about this on the Entrepreneur Radio Show, because, of course, the subject of the book could be for other kinds of radio shows. But
right, right.
I think that... the thing that was most important, really, about any kind of relationship, but particularly true when you're working with someone who you it's not just a work relationship, is you need to make sure that your communication with each other is excellent, right? Because if you have some kind of miscommunication, if you guys aren't on the same level and understand what each other is doing and bringing to the project and the expectations that you have, then the work relationship is going to start to fray. And if the work relationship starts to fray, the personal relationship starts to fray.
Oh,
and I know,
time, yeah.
I know from talking to entrepreneurs that so many of them work with friends, family members, spouses. You got to have this buttoned up if you're going to brave yourself into it.
Well, you know what, Jen? You know what? Ready? Ready?
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun show. Let me tell you. I've worked with my wife for 32 years. We've been married. And we are right in the middle of a big, fat fight. So, Jason, you and Jennifer are going to have to help us off the ledge. We're going to come back and talk with more of the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine and his wife, who have co-authored the book Mr. Nice Guy, a romantic comedy. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be at least a TV show. We'll be right back with more of Entrepreneur Weekly.
So nice, I got you.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine and Entrepreneur Media and all things entrepreneur. And, you know, I have been working with my wife for 32 years. We've been married 32 years. Actually, we've been working together for 35 years. And my goodness gracious, I was literally just talking the other day. I wish I could talk to somebody about working with your spouse, your family members, because I also work with my family members. All my kids work with me. And it ain't easy. I'll just tell you that. Editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine on the line, and his wife, novelist and journalist Jennifer Miller, who also does some writing for Entrepreneur. You guys, what a bold move, and congratulations. Such a great idea. This is one of those things when you hear it, you know, your book, Mr. Nice Guy, you hear it, you go, perfect. I want to go see that movie or TV show or read the book or whatever. I love it. Now, but let's get down to what's it like for the entrepreneurs. And, you know, it's taken me forever, Jason, to learn how to deal with my wife. I love her to death. But, man, those dynamics at work. And I would love to hear from both of you. And whoever wants to take it, go for it.
Yeah. I'll just jump in with a quick little factoid, and then Jen can build off of that. So we surveyed at Entrepreneur 1,000 people, along with SurveyMonkey audience. They helped us out on whether or not they've worked with friends, family members, or spouses, and if so, how did it work? How did it go? And interestingly, 87% said they had done some version of that. 78% said that it was a good experience. And the number one strategy that people had for making it work, establishing clearly defined roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Jen, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, sure. And so, you know, we had that same experience. And I think, you know, this was before Jason commissioned the study. So, you know, luckily we figured this out on our own. But from the beginning, we had figured out that we were each going to take kind of a different part of the book. So the book goes back and forth between a male narrator and a female narrator. But also all of the columns are in the book. So just to remind you, it's about two people that are critiquing last night's sex, and they're writing competing columns in a magazine. And so we wanted all of the columns to be in the book. Now, my background is, you know, as a novelist doing some long-form journalism. Jason, you know, he started out in newspapers, worked his way up as a magazine editor, and so he really had a lot of experience with column writing. I really had a lot of experience with the narrative writing. And so that's really how we broke it down. We had our defined roles. And so, you know, it didn't mean that we, you know, never disagreed about anything, but we really kind of had our tasks and were able to kind of execute those tasks. And it, you know, I think that made all the difference in terms of the fact that we're still married after 3 years.
I love it.
Working on this.
By the way, if you're listening to the podcast of this, we also nationally broadcast this radio show on like 45, 50 stations. The book is available, Mr. Nice Guy, on October 16th. And if you are listening to the podcast and you're listening to it a year from now, it's out there. So just look for it. Mr. Nice Guy, co-authored by Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and his lovely wife, Jennifer Miller. Now, what have you learned from this? Give me about a minute each on what is the one big takeaway from writing this book together.
So I think that if you want to improve your sex life, you should write a book with your significant other, which I know sounds crazy. But, you know, this isn't just about sex, but it really goes to the issue of open communication when you're working with somebody close to you. Because we were writing about two people who are writing about sex, we have to really communicate about sex and about our own sex lives to a certain extent. And it actually forced us to be open and honest with each other in a way that, you know, you might not think to do. I mean, we've been married now for almost 7 years. I realize that's not, you know, an incredibly long time. But, you know, you kind of get into a habit, you get into a rut, and you don't really talk about those things so much anymore after, you know, after all that time. And this really kind of gave us the space and the excuse to have these conversations that otherwise, you know, might be touchy or even embarrassing. And that was really healthy for our marriage and our relationship as, you know, romantic partners, but also as professional partners.
I agree. Now, I got to take a break here in just a second. We're going to come back and finish up on this thought, and then we're going to give some advice from the editor-in-chief and his co-author of the book, Mr. Nice Guy, Jennifer Miller. This is so interesting. This is going to turn out into being really relationship management 101 because of what you guys have learned. Now, Jason, instead of just being the editor-in-chief, you're going to have to start some sort of a practice, family relationships. All right. Don't go anywhere. Let's take a little break. We'll come back and hear what you've learned. And then comes the advice for all the different entrepreneurs out there that are working together, like me, with my wife. After all these years, we're finally figuring out, or finally having that discussion. 37 years since we started dating, got married, started working together, and OMG. I'm glad you're here today, Jason and Jennifer. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor with our editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, Jason Pfeiffer, his wife, Jennifer Miller, novelist and journalist. We're talking about a book that they wrote together, a romantic comedy, Mr. Nice Guy. Fantastic. I cannot wait to read it. It's going to be one of those fun reads where you're sitting there laughing, I'm sure. Not that we're laughing at you guys, laughing with you guys about you both critiquing your sex lives separately in different columns in different magazines or newspapers, whatever it is. But I can't wait. It just sounds fantastic. Now, though, I asked Jen, what was her biggest takeaway from writing the book with you, her husband? What is yours now, Jason, from writing a book with your wife?
Oh, I would say it reminded me very often of the importance, if you're going to work with somebody who you are close with, if you have a work relationship on top of a personal relationship, making sure that you are dividing that time properly where you have personal time that is not also work time. That we struggled a lot with that over the course of this project, and I'm sure everybody does, where work, you know, it's on your mind, you want to talk about it, you can't stop talking about it, but you really need to at some point find the time to say, not talking about work, we're talking about anything else but.
Right.
That is so important for a relationship.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, so here we go. You guys get to be the teachers now. You have probably depthened your relationship, like, you know, many layers deeper because of this, because you really went on a deep dive working together like that on the subject that was. So I'm going to go over to, actually, to Jennifer now, Jennifer Miller. What advice would you have for entrepreneurs working with their spouse after all this?
Well, I would say that it's really important to remember that you and your partner have the same goal, right? You're not always going to agree on everything. When Jason and I were writing Mr. Nice Guy, there were plenty of times when we had different opinions about what should happen in the book, about what the characters should do. But at the end of the day, we're creating a joint product that we have to both feel great about putting out into the world. And so, but I think that when you really keep that in mind and you remember this is really something that we're doing together and you kind of focus on that team element, it kind of helps you compromise more. It helps you negotiate more and kind of come to consensus. So I would say just keep your eye on that final goal that you both want to be happy with what you've got.
Absolutely. Jason, how about you?
So I totally agree with that, and this is a little related, but it's also different. You have to make sure that you both have put the project that you're working on together on an equal level of priority. And I would say that that was the most challenging thing for Jen and I, because Jen at times was definitely prioritizing the project over me, because Jen builds book writing into her day, whereas for me, I often had to fit it into the evenings or the mornings or the weekends. And sometimes I would have other projects. And so sometimes she would be frustrated that I wasn't prioritizing this the way that she was. And I totally appreciate that and understand that. And that can really fray at a relationship. You need to make sure that you are both signaling to each other that the project is at the same level of priority, that one is not dragging the other, because that is where a lot of resentment will build.
You know, I've learned over the years, you know, having children, and I know you guys have one and one on the way, and congratulations for that. And every time you reach these, you know, I guess the bottom of one step is the top of another step, if you know what I'm saying, right? So you have to kind of keep changing and evolving. And so I think that, you know, gosh, at this stage of my life, what I've really learned with my wife is I really have to research in my heart what love is, because at a certain point you've kind of done everything, you've been there and you've done that and you've explored that, but it really boils down to what love is, and it really has a lot to do with patience, kindness, thoughtfulness. And so I just think that the same stuff has to be woven into the relationship in business when you're working with somebody. Because when you're working with your family, you could say, hey, go get me this. But you would never just say, go get me this, to your employee. You would say, would you mind grabbing that for me, please? Or would you please do this? So what I've had to learn how to do is to really relate to my children and my spouse and my friends more like in a more professional way. Because I think we take advantage of our families often in business. Any thoughts on that, Jason?
Yeah, that's a really great insight. I totally agree. You can take for granted the person who is closest to you. And in fact, what you need to do is you need to nurture that relationship the most.
Right.
Because that is the one that, one, is going to be the longest lasting and also is the most complicated. And you can't just start treating it like it's a commodity that just happens to be available to you. We definitely confuse that. And I mean, that really goes back to what Jen was talking about, right? Like, you make sure that you remember and you keep reminding yourself that you share a goal. That's right. Why you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is there a website for the book, Mr. Nice Guy?
Yeah, so you can go to MrNiceGuyNovel.com, and you can buy it at, you know, through that website at any major retailer where books are sold.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible. We did an audiobook. That was really interesting, recording that thing.
I'll have to play very some excerpts of that on this show. Oh, my gosh.
Please don't.
I love it. I love this little side hustle, and it was must have just been absolutely a fun project for both of you. Jennifer Miller, Jason Pfeiffer. Jason's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur. You see what kind of fun people I get to work with, everybody? This is them right here. Guys, congratulations. I can't wait to watch the movie or TV show that comes out of this, too.
Thanks, Alan. This was fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
My pleasure, my pleasure. All right, Entrepreneur Weekly continues on. Don't forget Entrepreneur.com on the web and the magazine on newsstands everywhere. Entrepreneur Weekly will be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, when you've had the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine on and talking about couples working together, husbands, wives, families, close friends, it ain't easy. So you better have somebody that's written a book The Couple's Guide to Financial Compatibility. Jeff Motzke's on the line. He's a certified financial planner. Jeff, how perfect is that, right? I mean, you just nailed it, brother.
Yeah, Alan, that's a tough act to follow. You know, the editor-in-chief and running their own business together. I know how tough that can be as far as just managing money as a couple, but let alone also running your own business together. Both can have some tricky times.
So here's the thing. I work with my wife, as I said in the earlier part of the show here. We started dating when we were in our course. She was like, I think she was 19, going to be 20, and I was going to be 22. And from that point on, I am now 58 and she's 55, and we have never stopped working together. Also had four kids along the way and now a grandchild. And it has been a challenge the entire freaking time, right up to today. Now, we haven't had an argument today yet, but I haven't seen her. I know there's one coming. Anyway.
Well, you guys got a lot of togetherness. I mean, you work together, you raise your kids, obviously you should be doing that together, yep. and managing money together. Either way, whether you were working together, you're still going to have arguments over money, and you're still going to have discussions over how to spend, how to plan, you know, what is important to you, what's important to her. And those things aren't going to change whether you're working together or not. I think I find more and more people, though, shy away from having the conversation about money as a couple than actually, like you mentioned, argue or fight about it. There's more people that actually just kind of just keep putting it off.
Yeah. Well, here, listen, you're a certified financial planner. My biggest problem over the years was that because we're husband and wife, I think, and she has accused me of this for years, and gentlemen, listen up, and ladies, it could be you too, but here's, for the sake of, I'll just take it on the chin. I think that my wife can hear what I think, if you know what I mean. In other words, she'll say to me, why didn't you tell me that? I go, I did tell you that. No, you didn't tell me that. Yes, I did tell you that. Well, I probably thought it, but I didn't say it, you know? So I think that, you know, we get so familiar with our spouse that we actually think they can read our brain, you know? And so I've had to learn how to actually treat my wife like, you know, a coworker. And I make notes and I send her emails and I try to be, you know, cordial and polite and gracious and thankful because she's also working. And so I think the biggest thing for me is learning how to not think she's my wife or my spouse, she'll do what I ask her to do, and she, you know, if you know what I'm saying. And she does the same thing. He's my husband, you know, he can wait, or he'll do this, or we need to treat each other with the same respect that we give another person within our organization. And that doesn't always happen because we take each other for granted.
Very true. It's easy to take each other for granted. It's easy to think we communicated about depositing money or doing something with the business, and then we did not because we're so busy. When you're running your own businesses, entrepreneurs out there, you're running your businesses, you're putting in long days, long hours, and you forget sometimes to communicate. And when it comes to communication with your spouse, whether it's in the business or outside of the business, it's critical to have those conversations. And I talk about in the book what I call a monthly financial date night, where you get together with your spouse and you don't argue about the bills. You don't argue about credit card expenses. You really talk more about big picture things and planning things, things that matter for the future of your relationship, for the future of your business, if you're working in business together, because there's more and more couples doing things together business-wise and having those discussions outside of the office, whether it's a nice dinner and a bottle of wine or a cup of coffee and dessert, whatever it is, that you have those discussions so that there is some clarity in what's going on in the relationship when it comes to the business side of it and the financial side of it too.
All right. I know this is going to seem a little uncomfortable. What do you do if she smacks you in the face? I'm joking.
She throws the wine at you? Yeah. You got bigger issues there, Alan, if that's the case.
I'm just joking. Oh, my gosh. We've had everything.
It is important from an emotional standpoint, though, too, that you don't bring up things at that particular time that maybe are really frustrating you. If that's been a pattern, it's better to keep it to yourself, sit on it for a little while, think, be more rational, and have an approach that's going to get you some results.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of times I think the book advisors can play a key role in that too. They can sometimes bridge that gap, bridge those conversations where there would be tension so that you're not getting the hot coffee thrown at you.
She's never done that. I threw a Subway sandwich at her one time. I'm joking. I didn't. We've had a really nice long relationship, and it's only getting better. By the way, we're talking with Jeff Motzke. He's a certified financial planner. He is the author of the book, The Couple's Guide to Financial Compatibility, and we're walking through some of those things. One, he says, monthly financial date night. I like that, actually, because then you're putting purpose behind it. It's purpose-driven evening to literally talk about where you are and where things stand and where you need to go. By the way, he is also president and CEO of Trilogy Financial, a privately held financial planning firm headquartered in Huntington Beach, California. By the way, I'll be there tomorrow, with 10 offices and more than 100 advisors nationwide. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a great ride. The company is coming up on its 20th anniversary, and it's been loads of fun, and it's been lots of fun helping people and helping our advisors help people too.
All right. We're going to take a little break. You're going to come back and give us some more information on how couples can be more financially compatible. Woo! I got to tell you, and I have a few that I've learned along the way too, so we'll compare notes. Again, you can find him at Trilogy FS for financial services, I guess. TrilogyFS.com. Jeff Motzke also has a podcast. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Well, it is Entrepreneur Weekly, and I'm Alan Taylor, having a good time talking about the compatibility of working with your spouse or significant other, family member, whatever that significant other is, or whoever they are. Jeff Motzke's here. He wrote a book, The Couple's Guide to Financial Compatibility. And it's a big subject these days because I think more and more entrepreneurs are husband and wife teams. And I've met some that I'm so jealous of their relationship. I mean, look at editor-in-chief Jason Pfeiffer and his wife Jen. You know, their relationship got better through writing their novel, Mr. Nice Guy. The fact is they actually became closer. Now, it's taken me a long time, but Jeff, the thing that I've learned recently is that maybe I did not have enough proper respect. I had certain things that were just assumed to be that a husband and wife, you know, team, the husband's the boss, and I wasn't giving enough proper respect to my wife. So I'm really trying hard right now to honor her in that way. But I would love to get you to give us some great advice from your book and just from your life's experiences.
Yeah, and I will say my wife, Kendra, helped me write the book as well. And I think so it's really a journey of ours.
Awesome.
And what we have done from our own financial side of things. So we really partnered in the process. She was my editor behind the scenes, and she gave me a lot of great insight into, I think, what's happened with us, but also she's intimately involved in our firm and really how we operate as a company. So I think getting to couples and working together and understanding, first of all, clarity and understanding when you're in the work environment and when you're not in the work environment. I am a huge proponent of work-life balance. And I think sometimes when you're working together, that can just get mixed up. And you have your work hat on, but yet you're arguing with your spouse over something that's really more of a family matter. And you're not being distinctive and separating. And sometimes it's hard with a lot of people working out of their homes more or more remotely. It's easier to not draw the line. I really think it's important when I leave the office to put on my dad hat and my spouse hat and respect that versus taking work home with me. That's one avenue that I would talk to a lot of people about. It's just, and really having communication as to what that means to both parties. What is your time involved? What is her time involved? And that is our time involved when it comes to our business if we're working together, and then also our relationship, and really understanding how to separate those.
By the way, I notice here, I'm just flipping through here. Ego is the enemy of humility. Keep it real. Talk about that.
Yeah, I use that a lot with my employees, and we've had a lot of success as a firm. We've won awards, and it was great, you know, getting the opportunity to write the book and do a lot of TV work. And it can build your ego up in a way that's not healthy. And I think our industry in the financial planning world, it's the same thing. It can build people up and build their egos up to a point where it's not healthy. So I spend a lot of time talking to our advisors, coaching and training, that ego can be your enemy if you're not careful about how you are and how you act with your clients, with your spouse, with your family, with anybody you interact with. And I think when you exercise humility, it actually resonates even better with your clients and opens up more opportunities for introductions and referrals. So we really spend a lot of time breaking that apart, because our industry really does a poor job in that area. And I spend a lot of time talking to our advisors about not letting ego take over, because it's easy to do.
Yep. Here's another one. Create a positive, productive environment. Need to be selfless rather than selfish. And it's interesting, as we talk about this, I remember seeing a man talk to his wife, and he talked down to her. And I did not like that at all. And then my wife came to me one day and she said, you know, you talked down to me. And I remember feeling the shock of pain in my heart, because I had seen it before, and it was not a good, positive, productive environment for the employees or your family members to see that. So maybe you could riff on that for a minute.
Kudos to you, Alan, for recognizing and listening to her. And I think her being able to bring it up to you. And I think that's where that communication is so important. And whether it's a spouse or an employee relationship, your ability to listen to somebody when they have something maybe that you don't want to hear, and that if you think about success the way I guess I view it, is that if you're selfish, it can go away real quickly. If you're selfless and you're always thinking about what's the best interest for my clients, what's the best interest for my employees, or what's the best interest for my family, that's a long-term winner.
Right. Well, it's funny, because I was just looking. I posted something, because there's so much pressure on us these days, and I just recently posted something. I wish I could find it. Maybe I'll find it during the commercial break, about when you're under pressure. You know, pressure turns a lump of coal into a diamond only if it is handled properly. And that really boils down to the same thing with life and business. You can either take pressure and take it out on your family and your employees and people around you, which destroys your business, or you can take that pressure, deal with it properly, and turn that pressure into a diamond. In other words, you shine and you become much more valuable through dealing with the pressure properly. So technically, how we deal with each day of our life and every situation that happens in our lives, you know, makes us either winners or losers. So these are very important points. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's funny you mentioned pressure, and I believe that in our business, a lot of times, especially if you're public speaking, and I do a lot of workshops and seminars and radio, and pressure is that nervous energy, and some people look at it as anxiety. I tend to look at it as energy, and that energy brings excitement to me and helps me be better at doing whatever that task is. I think pressure, though, when it's in the wrong text, you got to find a way to release that.
Yeah. Well,
whether
you know what?
Go to a friend or talk to somebody else.
At commercial break coming up, we're going to talk about this on the other side. What I really, really want, Spice Girls, is more advice on relationships, couples, and of course, we have the Couples Guide to Financial Compatibility and more with our friend Jeff Motzke. Jeff, great job. TrilogyFS.com. You can find him and his book all over the place. Again, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. Couples, working with your family ain't easy. That's why we're talking about it today. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And I'm talking with Jeff Motzke. He is a certified financial planner, author of the book, The Couple's Guide to Financial Compatibility. They go hand in hand. Read that one wrong, but
they do.
It's funny, right? Anyway, okay, so we talked about the relationship stuff a little bit, but I want to talk about the ripple effect now. How it affects not only your children at home when you don't know how to be compatible with your spouse because of working together and what have you, but really how it affects your employees and people that are watching. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. What did you find there?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of clients that fit this category really well, and I get to witness that a lot when they're in their office and doing some financial planning for them, where you can just tell there's tension in the office because the two of them are not getting along. If that's the case, you've got to find a way to harvest that, get it out of the office, so that when you're in the office, you're providing the right type of environment to succeed. Because if you're not, employees pick up on it. If you're not creating the right type of working environment long term, they're going to leave. I always say good employees are like volunteers. They don't have to come work there. They choose to come work there. And if there's relationship challenges or they're sensing that the two of you are not working well together, they're going to start exploring other opportunities, and then you've got even a bigger problem.
By the way, I just found, I posted it on my Facebook page, a diamond is a chunk of coal that made good under pressure. We were talking about that earlier, and that's what it was. Okay, so husbands and wives, partners, there is a ripple effect. And the sad thing is that ripple effect has so much more effect than we really know until usually it is too late. The reason why, people, we are talking about this today is that how many businesses have failed through people that love each other bickering back and forth. So what we're trying to do is to lay down a little bit of planning. And so Jeff started out with, you know, monthly financial date night. Do me a favor. Give me like two or three more little must-dos, must-haves in your relationship in business and life.
Well, another big one that they don't talk about is a succession plan. Because if you don't have a succession plan within your practice, within your business, and they're not fun to talk about, nobody wants to talk about, you know, what happens, you know, at that point. But if you don't have that and something happens to one of you or both of you, the whole business is shot. Also behind that is, you know, if you argue too much and you have some sort of a divorce or separation between the two of you, the business gets shot up and it usually gets destroyed in scenarios like that.
Right.
So thinking on the positive side, having a succession plan and really letting your key employees know about that succession plan, and I would say elevating your bench, in other words, elevating your best people so that they know what's to happen if something were to happen to one or both of you, and having clear communication to just the key people or key advisors within your company.
Yeah, no, all good advice. Now, you said your wife helped you write the book and everything else. Is there one takeaway from writing that book that changed your life? I'm just curious.
There's several takeaways. First of all, when you're writing a book and you're under all kinds of deadlines from a publisher, make sure you stay on top of things because you don't want to be up, the crack of dawn every day writing. But I would say it drew us closer together with our own finances. It got us thinking more about the future and what it looks like. I'm 52 years old. Business has been around 20 years. There's been a lot of great success with it. What does it look like after me? In other words, you know, I've got a lot of employees that rely on what we do every single week, and I want to make sure that they know what it looks like after me. But my wife and I spent a lot of time talking about that. You know, what does it look like? What's the next chapter look like? What's the purpose behind it? And it drew a lot of clarity that I think if you're in your 30s or 40s in particular, you're not thinking about those things. But you should be thinking about it for your employees. You should be thinking about it for your spouses. You know, what does that next chapter look like? What legacy do you want to leave? And how are you going to go about doing it? And what's the plan to get there? Because if you think you're just going to get there by, you know, magic, it's not going to happen. You need a very thoughtful plan. You need really good communication with your spouse, too.
From a financial planner, I would expect nothing less. I expect nothing less. That's awesome. All right. The book, The Couple's Guide to Financial Compatibility. You can listen to his podcast. You can find him at Trilogy F, as in Frank, S, as in Sally, trilogyfs.com. And, wow. Last thing. What's the biggest mistake you ever made in business? Quick.
Probably staying at my old firm too long.
Oh, so you didn't pull the parachute cord fast enough? Become an entrepreneur.
I did not pull it fast enough.
Good for you.
I did take a big risk, though. I decided to leave while my wife was pregnant with our first child.
Oh, my God, of course. See, you should have had a financial planner. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Jeff Motzke. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. After all, I knew it
had to be something to do. This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.